Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. Lovely to be with you. I'm delighted to be joined today by somebody who I've known for a long time and somebody who I know is going to give us a real deep insight today in terms of things that are hot. So AI and ChatGPT particularly. So I'm delighted. Many thanks to Mark Brincat, who is the Group CTO of Intiv. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me, as always.
It's a delight to have you back again. I know you've spoken for us a number of times and you've been on recording. Be like your second home here with us now. So congratulations on the new role. Looks really exciting. We'll probably get into that in a little while. So really pleased to see you. I always love to see people progressing and doing exciting things. So we'll cover that maybe at the close. Thanks for spending some time. Really appreciate it. And to the topic I want to cover today is something that I know is close to your heart and something you're very, very up to speed with. AI and ChatGPT, the two we're going to talk about. Well, if we start with AI, so for people who don't know, I mean, I'm sure everyone who'll be watching this knows what AI is, but a brief tour, if you want, what is AI and how would you define it?
Well, I think I would define AI, artificial intelligence. Yeah, it's where we use machines to really help us and where the machine is doing the work that really would need a lot of human beings to do, yeah, if they have to do. So intrinsically, AI and machine learning are very linked together, yeah? And hence why we always speak around AI and ML, because, you know, out of machine learning, you get some artificial intelligence, yeah? Be it if you're using machine learning to do text-to-speech, or if you're doing video processing, or if you are using neural networks to be able to come to a particular outcome. So artificial intelligence is really the catch-all in terms of, you know, taking us back to those movies where actually, you know, the machines are ruling the world. But it's actually, I strongly believe it's helping us in society at the moment, and it's evolving, and it's evolving at a tremendous pace, and hence why the conversation is so exciting now.
Absolutely. So, I mean, in terms of intelligence, it's hard to define, I know, but how intelligent is AI right now? I mean, is it replicating our thought processes? I think there's a bit of fear around that, and I think I know the answer, but that's...
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and you know, reading through. I think it was really interesting to have seen the, you know, the father of AI or the father of neural networks leave Google recently.
That's one of the reasons why I'm asking the question.
And really, where it's coming, it's the pace of acceleration that is happening, and that's the worry bit around it. But in terms of the intelligence, yeah, we have seen a lot of, and we'll talk about, you know, large language models and what they are able to produce, and you know that the conversation and the type of information you're getting starts to be very, very human like. So it's starting to be hard to distinguish, oh, has this been generated by a machine or has this been generated by a human? And that's where a lot of the thinking and the call to action around regulating and governing these models a bit tighter with the discussions with different governments, it's starting to take pace. However, if we look at it, AI is with us in every day. Yeah, it's If you have a smartwatch, there is AI in there in terms of being able to understand patterns and trends and being able to recommend particular actions to take. You know, it's there in searching mechanisms. Yeah, when we are searching for something, and it's using that data classification and inference to be able to give you or get you to the right place, or it's getting into if you are taking a picture for your smartphone and it's able to detect different objects that are in the picture and tell you, and if you search search for a picture of a car, and I wouldn't do that on your phone because I know it will have lots of Audis. It's actually so it's in our everyday life, but the pace of acceleration has got really fast this year, yeah, in terms of that. And that is what's worrying certain people.
So, I mean, if we're looking at everyday services and average, like myself, average person on the street, the UK government recently announced is going to invest quite heavily into AI in terms of infrastructure and services. What are the kind of services that a government could look at where they'd harness the power of AI and that would actually help the us people?
Yeah, I was reading about that. For example, the announcement around the 100 million investment around creating an expert task force to help the UK build and adopt the next generation of safe AI. And those are the type of investments that are really, really important. It's where you're looking at, creating that group and creating those mechanisms to really understand where the technology is heading, how can you apply it in a safe way, what probably are the regulations that should start coming into effect. But there are multiple instances where AI can play an important role. We'll talk a bit later on around an application of ChatGPT. We're doing that at the moment. We're partnering with a company called Insights Driven around creating a conversational means of exposing health services to people that need them in a more intuitive way. Yeah, the ability to actually process large amounts of data and be able to out of that create action. And it's interesting to see, that for example, the recent U-turn on smart motorways, for example, that was using quite a bit of image processing and actioning that is happening, and that shows you that whereby the technology is probably there, but the implementation of it needs a bit more thinking and needs a bit more iterations. Yeah, so there are various different aspects where government and the services that you offer can be made better to the everyday person in their everyday life.
And in terms of that, there is a lot of scaremonger stories as well, which I guess we can understand because it's change, it's something new. In your view, is there anything to be fearful of here?
I think you always have to be alert rather than fearful. Fear doesn't get us anywhere. The pace of innovation will continue. Yeah. And whereby, you can't really put the brakes on this in a way, but you definitely need to have the right level of conversations around what are those models that need to be in place to ensure that we have we implement it in a safe, fair means, yeah, and also keeping an eye on the second order impacts of certain implementations. So I am not fearful personally of it. I would embrace the innovation, but I am really eager to understand how we can add a level of protection around it and actually put the structures, put the right structures in place to make sure that what is being used in a safe way. Yeah. So, for example, one of the threats is, yeah, with generative AI going where it's going, cyber attacks might become more elaborate. Yeah, it's already quite difficult to understand if you get a particular email, if it's a genuine email and or not. Yeah, it's like a lot of people have fallen victim to the phishing attacks and all sorts of type of other attacks, and it did impact that. And with the technology advancement that we are seeing, that could become even more difficult. So how do we protect ourselves with it? Is there an answer to technology also that is enabling us to help us in that, maybe, you know, in terms of understanding certain patterns, understanding certain signals that would prevent us from falling victim to it? And also, you know, the usual due diligence that you need to do, and the, you know, the advice that there is around cybersecurity and keeping your personal information safe. Yeah.
And I guess AI then can be used to help combat cybercrime in some cases as well. So it's, you know, utilizing that, crunching through that data and patterns, as you mentioned.
And which I believe it's already, actually, you know, the use of image processing in helping policing.
Yes,
it's already in place. It's already in use. Yeah. And I know that there is a lot of concern around, you know, what does that mean around your privacy rights, and, you know, how that information is used, where is it stored, how is it stored. So there is, with GDPR, we have a lot of the regulations and frameworks in place. Now, how does that need to change as you know, the models start becoming more elaborate? And that's kind of where the question is, what's the regulation? What do we need to do to make sure that we provide the right level of safeguards while not stopping the pace of innovation, really?
Now, I'm speaking of innovation, I mean, ChatGPT, I mean, it's been lauded as probably the, some people say the best and some people say the worst possible evolution of technology that we've witnessed probably in our lifetime. For those who don't know, can you give a definition of ChatGPT?
Well, let's start with what GPT means, yeah? So yeah. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. Yeah, that's what it means.
That sounds like a robot from a movie, just so you
yeah.
know.
Well, it initially was designed as a messaging system. You know, a messaging system where you could have group chats, and research around rule-based systems dates back to the, you know, to the 50s and 60s, and then in the 80s and 90s, large amounts of data and statistical models began to surface. And then, you know, we saw the development of neural networks, yeah?
Yeah.
Becoming more mainstream, like, you know, if you look at the 2000s. So in 2016, it was the birth of OpenAI, which is really the open source consortium that is really looking at the open AI standards, yeah? And in 2018, there was the groundwork put in place for the first version of GPT, yeah, of GPT-1. In 2019, there was a partnership between Microsoft and OpenAI, which led to the development of GPT-2. And in 2020, that model was evolved to GPT-3, which was the most powerful sort of upgrade that was given. And in 2022, ChatGPT was born. So if you look at that sort of, you know, the pace
Yes.
Of that transformation, really, really accelerating. Yeah. And that's just talking about what OpenAI and ChatGPT is doing, let alone what, you know, Meta is doing, was doing with Llama, and Google with Bard, and then with some of these big vendors actually starting to embed the technology with making it readily available. Microsoft embedded, you know, GPT into their Bing search to enable that conversational means of actually finding your information. So that's really the evolution. And starting with that interaction, what actually GPT itself is the technology of using large amounts of data to pre-train a model to be able to answer something. Yeah. So use the data, use classification, use neural networks on there to be able to get to an outcome. ChatGPT is where that technology then was embedded into an interface where you are having a conversation. And basically it evolves from having a conversation around, you know, you can ask it, you know, about a particular subject, and you'll get, you know, you get a stream of thought around that subject, to imaging, being able to create images, to be able to create text, to be able to create code. Yeah, which is interesting how it's evolving and sort of giving all those different mediums. I believe Google announced in Google I/O last week around, you know, the evolutions of Bard and the APIs that you can interact with to actually be able to generate easier the code snippets and actual applications coming out. So as you can see, this is where it starts becoming interesting. Can the AI now generate the application, run the application, and basically promote the application all by itself, and then learn from it and improve it and evolve it? And you can see where that starts creating a bit of uneasiness in terms of where it's heading, you know.
And like, in terms of, what are your thoughts on ChatGPT?
Well, I think it's amazing. It's an amazing technology, and it can do so much, yeah. Both by actually providing much more accessibility to the large amount of information, because it's like you're having a conversation with a mate and asking them, you know, what about subject? What do you think about this subject? So there is the accessibility aspect, you know, the inclusivity aspect, mm-hmm. because you can have everybody kind of can have a conversation, yeah, to the benefits of automation and being able to take, you know, the more repetitive nature of things and be able to actually focus on much more the value add. But with all the benefits, you have to keep an eye also on the concerns, you know, the as we talked about the security risks. We talked about, you know, the lack of governance. We talked about what happens when it gets things wrong, or it infers something wrong. You know, you had the classic example of Llama. I believe it was Llama that actually started picking up really bad traits from the base data it was being provided, and then it ended up being quite obnoxious, actually, in terms of the and racist, you know, in terms of the information provided. So that's kind of the tweaks in the model that needs to be put in place. How do you tweak that? You know, how do you teach it better? Yeah.
And in terms of that, where it's picking up maybe misinformation and then it because it's, again, we talked earlier about machine learning. So it's developing a sort of, I won't call it behavior patterns. It's developing an information stream pattern. Can that also be manipulated? Because I've heard this term deep fake, and I wasn't quite sure what it actually meant. I thought you may be able to enlighten me a little bit.
Well, technology around deepfake has been around now for a bit of time. You know, you can go and have a look at imaging that was then was created, and then, you know, you get the technologies around voice synthesization and image manipulation, and basically you don't know if what you're seeing is a true video clip or not. Or so I can see, you know, that that's one of the other risks around this. As technology continues to evolve, how do you protect against that deepfake being able to become much more mainstream? Yeah, and there is already a lot of talk, and it happened where, you know, there were video clips that were presented as real but actually aren't real, and the technology is there already now to be able to develop it, but it requires work to get it. Now, with the evolution of technologies like, you know, like the large language models and where machine learning is heading, can that become much more mainstream? And if it becomes mainstream, how are we able to distinguish around it? And I don't have an answer at the moment around how we distinguish around it, but definitely there needs to be thinking around how that level of protection is provided and what can be done around being able to determine if something is real or not. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm. And what about, like, on the more positive side? So what are the opportunity here? What are the advantages? What are the services? Again, going back to what we talked about the AI, but like, how can ChatGPT and its competitors, how can it make our lives better? How can it improve it?
Yeah, I think like, you know, there are so many different applications, but if we start with, I touched a bit around the accessibility and the inclusivity. Like, one of the projects which I mentioned where we're working on is for the Scottish government, yeah? And the Scottish government has around 11,000 services out there. And to be able to access those services, they are quite distributed and disconnected at the moment, yeah? And it requires, you know, and obviously when you are in a moment of need, you want to get to the right service in the quickest possible time. So what if you could have a mechanism through a conversation to be able to be guided to the right service, to be able to be assisted in launching that service and getting what you need quicker? And that's really at the heart of one of the projects we are doing at the moment for the Scottish government. But that's kind of application around making a process much more streamlined, changing the interface or changing the interaction to something that is more attuned to how we behave in our day-to-day life is becoming more a reality now, yeah? There are other applications, obviously, around this. Let's think about, for example, if you want to augment learning potential, yeah, and being able to offer this within a virtual classroom perspective, where the generative AI is actually guiding you through a learning curriculum and actually getting you to do things, and then through doing those things you are learning, you are submitting, there is the review happening. What if that becomes more mainstream, yeah, in providing more equitable access to education, and there are multitude of opportunities. Even in relation to being able to speed up time to market, yeah. What if through the interface you can have a conversation during a pitch about the product idea, and then you know through that conversation the actual prototype gets enabled. Yeah, so you have. You are not just visualizing the idea, because we do that, yeah, with Figma prototypes, but you could actually get a baseline interaction of how it would work, and helping you visualize what a potential solution to the problem is.
Yeah,
and then you can take that and continue evolving it into a minimum viable product and into a product to market. And this type of technology is getting there. It's not there yet, yeah? So co-piloting is available. Yeah, if you go on GitHub, you can get Copilot and it can generate snippets of code for you. But to take that to the next level with some of the advancements we saw also this year, we are much closer to that, which would make it, which is amazing in a way, yeah, because it really speeds up the ability to test ideas and learn from those ideas and evolve those ideas and get to the right answer.
Yeah, because I saw recently where there's some code been written by AI, and initially there's errors in it, but as you said, we're not there yet. But that was the first sort of look at the fact that, coding, which is quite a laborious task, as you know, and it can often be quite hard to find the talent, whereas if you can develop an AI engine which can produce good developer code, then it could, you can move your project, release your product quicker, as you say, get to MVP quicker.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really, really interesting. Yeah, and of course, then there is a question around, what would that do for, the community of developers? And what about, are we going to be less relevant? I think from my perspective, it's not being less relevant, is actually get to start evolving into areas that we didn't have time or couldn't actually spend time to think about and actually focus on. So I see it in that way. I see it as an opportunity rather than a threat. Yeah. But obviously, some people think about it differently.
So opportunities. Let's sort of close out on that, because there's a couple of things I want to cover with you. Opportunities that will present themselves over this period of time, and then what does the next iteration of AI look like in your opinion? Now, I appreciate you don't have a crystal ball, right? So there's two areas there. What are the opportunities and what does the future look like?
I think from an opportunity perspective, is definitely around the application of this technology in how we make our everyday life better. Yeah. And there's the experience of it is the GPT. Type of interaction. If it is, around being able to visualize things better through image production, towards being able to create more innovative ideas around, like, I just remembered another project that we're working on, which is quite interesting, actually. You like your driving, yeah?
Yes.
And you like your podcasts. Yeah. So what if I can tell you, we can tailor your podcast to your journey to make sure that you are able to get the top level items and focus on the areas of that podcast that mean the most to you. And I can get you that into your car interface to be able to speak to it and get that done. When you are going to a journey. Yeah. And that's, it's amazing. Yeah. So we're actually doing a proof of concept around this by you know, taking a podcast, being able to dissect it, understand the key topics, being able to summarize those key topics. We're doing an interesting piece around actually, you know, taking the voice pattern from the podcast and actually generating that to be able to read through the highlights that we just created out of the podcast. So, you know, the technologies, the bits and pieces of capabilities that you need to stitch together are there. They're already existing. And that creates a different experience for you when you're driving, yeah? So that's one application. Another application, which is another project we're doing in the US actually, is around health. Like, for example, the most important thing when you are suffering from something is to be able to, you know, diagnose it early and being able to, you know, take the measures. And we're doing this project for one of the companies we're working for. It's around being able to, you know, take a 3D image of a patient, and through image processing and of that image, being able to identify, you know, the heat spots on somebody to be able to say, well, you know, there is a certain percentage of probability that this person is suffering from muscular dystrophy. And that's kind of where, you know, you're taking the application of AI and making it real into the everyday lives. Yeah, when actually it matters.
Absolutely. That's the, you know, it's improvement, and it's all of those where we need to consider, because I guess it's so vast, it's so fast moving that a lot of us are struggling to try and keep up with how can this be applied to our daily lives. Yeah. And that's the exciting bit. Next iteration of these things, any thoughts on what do you think is going to, what do you think we're going to be wowed by next? I mean, it's already moving at a frightening pace, but where next with this, do you think?
Well, I think you know, there is going to be much more efforts as the models start becoming more evolved into, you know, the type of areas that it's going to be able to generate and assist. As I said, you know, in terms of sort of moving from code snippets to actually being able to generate end-to-end applications, you know, the imaging, from being able to stitch an image to creating high quality imaging. You know, these are some of the areas that we will definitely see an advancement on. I think the main area is around what happens around the topic of regulation, and maybe, you know, some of that goes into actually the protection mechanisms that need to go into the models to enable us to distinguish between machine generated to human generated, and yeah, what can happen around that. I think, you know, we will see much more coming out of, you know, the big three in here around OpenAI, around Microsoft, around Google, and Facebook. You know, there could be you know, more integration into the metaverse. The metaverse was a big thing, obviously. Yeah.
It didn't really go anywhere, but
no, it didn't go really anywhere. It's interesting how it pivoted, isn't it? Because up to a year ago, it was really, yeah, really the big topic, yeah. And especially with what we've seen in the pandemic, with the virtualization, or you know, the events transferring to fully virtualized, and then, you know, you're able to immerse yourself into there. But then, you know, it didn't go, it didn't actually kick off, and it got surpassed through the discussions around ChatGPT and how that sort of mushroomed at the beginning of this year. So it would be interesting to see, is there going to be a convergence there around how GPT type models can make the metaverse actually more realistic and make you feel that you belong into that virtual space. Something to see and to look at.
Wow, because that's I'm gonna look forward to living my best virtual life then. Look, Mark, it's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you for spending some time with us. I really appreciate it. Obviously, if people want to look you up, they can find you on LinkedIn. We'll put a connection at the bottom of this podcast as well, so that people can check you out, know where to find you, and maybe ask you more questions. But for now, Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.